This is Audible.
One Perfect Night. Written by Bella Andre. Narrated by Eva Kaminsky. Chapter 1. Lake Tahoe, California. As the chairlift climbed higher and higher, Colby Michaels tried to ignore the way her heart beat faster and faster with every foot the lift cleared. If only she could find a way to stop thinking about how long a fall it would be if the chain holding up the chairlift snapped and she and her best friend plummeted to the snow below. Earth to Colby. Mia Sullivan's voice finally made it through to her brain, as did the fact that her friend's legs swinging back and forth were making the whole chair rock. "Sorry, I'll stop," Mia said, clearly reading her mind. "I know how you are about heights. I should never have let you ride the lift. You know I had to do this." At the moment, Colby could barely remember why she'd been so hell-bent on riding the chairlift. Just that it had something to do with challenging herself and facing her fears down one by one. In any case, it didn't really matter what her reasons were anymore. She couldn't exactly get off now, could she? "I'm doing okay up here," she lied. Her friend looked down at where she was gripping the armrest for dear life with both hands. "No, you're not. Tell me what I can do to help, and I'll do it." Before Colby could answer, the lift came to a crashing halt. "What's happening? Is it broken? Are they going to have to airlift us off of here?" Mia couldn't help from rolling her eyes. "I'm sure it's just someone needing a little extra time getting on or off." But Colby barely heard her friend's answer, because she was having trouble breathing, and all she could hear was her heart pounding in her ears. Even though she knew better than to look down, she couldn't stop herself from taking a quick peek. Mia poked her leg hard to get her attention. "Stop freaking out." The uncharacteristically stern tone of her friend's voice momentarily broke through the scene-by-scene playback of her life flashing before her eyes. "Right." Colby gasped in a lungful of air. "Good idea." Mia grinned. "Pretty good dominatrix voice, don't you think?" Colby's eyebrows went up. "Is that what that was?" Her friend nodded, looking tremendously pleased with herself. "I would make a great dom, wouldn't I?" "The best," she agreed, with her first real smile since getting on the lift. No one else could have done as good a job of distracting her. Only her best friend. As the only girl in a family with four boys, Mia Sullivan had learned to speak up early in life to make sure she didn't get lost in the shuffle of fists and stinky socks and football helmets. Colby had been lucky enough to grow up only a block away from the Sullivan house, a rambling craftsman on the shores of Lake Washington. She'd spent half her childhood with the Sullivans, and might even have had a teeny-tiny crush on each of Mia's brothers growing up. Then again, who hadn't? Other people might make fun of Colby's fear of heights, but not the woman she'd been friends with for more than 20 years. She still remembered the first time she'd seen Mia. They'd been 5 years old and brand-new kindergartners. Everyone else in Mrs. Tillman's class had been suitably nervous about being away from home for the first time and having to sit still on the braided rug in a circle and follow instructions and practice writing their names. But worst of all had been recess, because what if she never made any friends? The playground had been full of kids, not only the ones from her class, but even bigger ones from the first, second, and third grades, too. She was just about to turn and bolt back into the relative safety of the classroom and Mrs. Tillman when Mia Sullivan stepped in front of her. Where Colby's mother had brushed her hair until it shone and had carefully laid out a new skirt and sweater for the first day of school, Mia's long hair was tied into 2 messy pigtails, and her mismatched clothes were every color of the rainbow. The other girl was missing one of her front teeth, and her grin seemed even wider for it.
"Hi, I'm Mia. I like your name. Colby is cool. Want to be friends?"
12 simple words had been all it took to lift the heavy weight from Colby's chest. Before she had time to do anything but smile back, Mia had grabbed her hand, and they went running across the playground. off on the first of what would be hundreds of adventures together over the years. "Ooh, look at that," Mia said, as she pointed at a tall, broad-shouldered guy skiing down the mountain. "I wouldn't mind getting cozy by the fire with him later." "What part of our girls' weekend do you think he'd like better?" Colby teased. "The manicure or the hair highlighting session? Or maybe he would be up for trying the new no-mess waxing kit Janet brought." For the past 5 years, on the first weekend in February, Colby and her three closest friends met somewhere in the U.S. This year, they'd rented a house in Lake Tahoe, California, for their girls-only weekend. There was only one hard and fast rule. No men were allowed. Not even hot hookups. "If he likes any of those things," Mia said with a grimace, "I'm out. Besides, he probably wouldn't want to sit around admiring engagement rings either." Their friends Janet and Ellen were both wearing new engagement rings, and if Colby was anything but happy for them, she refused to admit it to herself. Just because she'd caught her last boyfriend locked in the missionary position with the woman he'd sworn was just a good friend from work on New Year's Eve didn't give her license to spill sour milk all over her friend's happiness. "You could have told them about Rob and what a scumbag he turned out to be, you know." Only Mia knew what had happened with Colby's ex-boyfriend. "I didn't want our celebration to turn into a pity party." She worked to shake away the image of her ex in bed with another woman. "Besides, I refuse to let him ruin my vacation in one of the most beautiful places in the world, especially after he'd ruined her New Year so thoroughly." Intent on relaxing her too tight stomach muscles, she took a deep breath and looked out at the truly spectacular view from her seat high above Lake Tahoe. It really was a winter wonderland. The sky was blue, the air smelled crisp and clean, the fresh snow from the night before was soft and fluffy on the branches of trees. Even before the small jet had touched down at the Lake Tahoe airport 2 days ago, Colby's first sight of the partially frozen lake had taken her breath away. Plus, there was nothing better than spending time with people who knew her almost better than she knew herself. Yesterday, they'd gone out snowshoeing during the day, and then spent the night drinking too much and laughing more than she'd laughed since their vacation last year. Between the gorgeous view and a few deep belly breaths, she finally started to relax. But as the chair moved closer to the top of the mountain, she knew she didn't have a prayer of relaxing all the way. She was mere minutes away from having to face her next challenge, skiing down the hill and getting to the bottom in one piece. In other sports, like tennis and swimming, she was perfectly coordinated, but as soon as she stuck skis to her feet, they went haywire. She knew Mia was going to offer to hang back with her once they got off the lift, but Colby couldn't stand the thought of getting in the way of her friend's fun, especially when Mia was a black diamond girl all the way. Last year, they'd all agreed to meet in San Diego for sand and sun, something they didn't get nearly enough of in Seattle. This year, she'd been perfectly happy to let the skiing fanatics like Mia decide the location. "Thanks for joining me on the lift," she said to Mia, "but I refuse to let you babysit me for the rest of the day. As soon as we get to the top, you're going to ski to your heart's content." Her friend raised an eyebrow. Look who's using the dominatrix voice now. Mia was one of the prettiest women she'd ever met, but Colby would always see her as that little girl with the messy pigtails and the missing tooth. "Don't make me get out my whip," she teased. "Yes, ma'am," her friend said, with a jaunty salute that shook their seat a little too much for Colby's peace of mind. She held her breath as the chair scooted closer to the landing at the top of the hill. Forcing her hands to unclench from the bar she'd been holding onto for dear life, she tipped up her skis and hopped off the seat in unison with Mia. A moment later, her friend had slipped on her goggles and was waving goodbye as she gracefully skied away, heading over to the other side of the mountain, where all of the terrifyingly difficult runs were. Mia made it look so easy, Snow was soft, right? How much damage could Colby do to herself on one little mountain? Maybe this time, she decided, everything would go fine. And for a moment, as her skis actually went in the direction she pointed them, sliding easily through the fresh snow, it seemed like it would. Until a small child suddenly came careening toward her. Assuming the little girl with the flying pigtails was as out of control as Colby was about to be herself when she headed down the hill, she knew she had to at least try to save the child. Wobbling on her skis, she dropped her poles and reached out for the girl to try to catch her. Seeing this, the little girl simply laughed and scooted effortlessly out of her reach. At which point Colby wibble-wobbled all the way over on her skis and landed flat on her face with a barely muffled splat. The fresh snow was shockingly cold on her cheeks and chin and forehead. Scratch that. It was freezing every inch of her face that wasn't covered, including her earlobes and the spot on her neck where her scarf must have gaped open when she fell. Knowing she needed to get out of the way of the next skier, she tried to get up on her hands and knees, but the snow was too soft, and the one ski that had stayed on kept going deeper into the snow, twisting her ankle something fierce. Yep, no question about it. She was stuck. A fleeting thought passed through Colby's mind, that the only thing that would have made the situation worse was if some hot single guy that she could have had a soul-deep love affair with in another reality found her with her butt up in the air and snow plastered to her face. But even she didn't have luck that bad, or at least she didn't think she did, until a few seconds later when she heard a deep, slightly rough voice say, "Are you okay?" Chapter 2. She lifted her head up and to the side, trying to put a face to the sinfully sexy voice, but there were too many ice crystals on her eyelashes for her to see much more than a blurry face and dark hair. And then he was saying, "Don't worry, I've got you." And his big, strong hands were coming around her waist, lifting her up out of the snow. She made the mistake of trying to help her rescuer, but all that ended up doing was to make him fall, too. Together, they rolled a few feet in the snow, their skis popping off, until they finally came to a stop. Colby's back was to the snow, and the stranger's weight was heavy on top of her. But oddly, after she caught her breath, she realized she wasn't the least bit uncomfortable. Her head was cradled by the stranger's chest, and he was holding her so tightly she could hear his heart beating through his partially open ski jacket. Her arms were wrapped around his neck, and her legs were entwined with his. She thought, as a low moan slipped from her throat. She loved this feeling of being so close with a man, to hard muscles and heat that radiated all the way through her chilled body. She looked practical on the surface, but at her core, Colby was a true sensualist. She loved the finest silks and lace against her skin, and happily spent way too much on the perfect, evocative scent. It had always been her dream to open a store that sold luxury products for women, but in the same way that she'd rarely been able to justify such luxuries for herself, she'd also never been able to justify giving up a good job to chase a dream. Not until last month, when in the wake of the disaster with her ex, she'd finally decided to take charge of her life and had signed the lease for her new store, Indulgence. As the warm arms around her quickly melted her chill away, and she instinctively snuggled in closer, it occurred to Colby that she hadn't been this close to a man since the last time she and Rob had made A sharp sting of pain at her ex's betrayal had her stiffening beneath the man who had pulled her out of the snow. Hadn't she vowed to keep her distance from men until she was strong enough to tell a good one from a bad one next time? It was not only completely inappropriate to be lying in such an intimate position with a total stranger, but she definitely shouldn't be pulling him closer. One, she didn't know this man's name. Two, she didn't even know what he looked like. Three, she'd sworn off men. She needed to get up, say thank you, somehow ski down the impossibly high mountain she'd so foolishly climbed in the ski lift, and then drown her complete and total embarrassment in a glass or three of wine back at the resort's bar. Forcing herself to unwrap her arms from the man's neck when he shifted above her, she moved into a sitting position as quickly as she could, given the fairly deep hole they'd made in the snow. Using her snow-covered gloves to brush away the ice crystals all over her face was messy work, and when she started to say, "Thank you so much. I hope I didn't hurt you," she finally got a good look at her savior. Oh my God. She'd never seen a man this good-looking before. Ever. Maybe in a movie or magazine, but never live and in person. Mortification rode her even harder at the complete and utter fool she'd made of herself in front of him. Her luck really was that bad, not only because she'd fallen face first into the snow, but also because she'd been unable to stop herself from rubbing all over him like a cat in heat. She may even, she suddenly realized with a huge flash of dismay as she blinked at his perfect face, have moaned aloud at the sinfully delicious feel of his body pressing hers into the cold snow. Amazingly, he wasn't looking at her with disgust. Instead, there was a smile on his lips and a sparkle in his green eyes. "Rescuing you was my pleasure. And no, you definitely didn't hurt me at all." Despite the depths of her mortification, her own lips were on the verge of turning up at the corners. "I'm not a very good skier," she admitted, before adding, "but you probably already guessed that. You thought that little girl was in trouble, didn't you?" She had to laugh at herself. "She's probably been skiing since she could walk, huh?" He nodded. "I'm thinking we should keep an eye out for her in the Winter Olympics in another 10 years or so." Something like this would have had Rob laughing at her the rest of the day, but this man was simply laughing with her. "I'm Noah. I'm Colby. Colby," he repeated, in that low, rough voice that sent shivers running across her skin as they shook hands. Or thick ski gloves, anyway. Shivers that had nothing to do with the icy mountain they were sitting on, and everything to do with him. His green eyes darkened slightly as he said, "That's a pretty name. Unique, too." She'd never, ever had to forcibly restrain herself from launching herself at a man to steal a kiss. A kiss she knew with 100% certainty would blow her mind. But he hadn't saved her so that she could maul him. He brushed a lump of snow off her forehead, and when she shivered, he said, "You're cold." She couldn't tell him she was shivering at his nearness, and from naughty thoughts of the things she wanted to do to him, not to mention all the things she wanted him to do to her. If she were Mia, she'd be wowing him by saying something sexy and witty about how he could keep her warm. Of course, since Colby was feeling anything but sexy and witty right at that moment, all she could think to say was, "We should probably find our skis before they take anyone else down." Without waiting for his agreement, she started to make her way back up the mountain, but they were close enough to the tree line that the snow was really soft and really deep, and a couple of steps were all it took for her to fall in again. Noah reached for her. "Hold on to me." Grateful, and more turned on than she could ever remember being, with nothing more than a man's arm wrapped around her waist, she moved back up the mountain with him until they found all four of their skis. Ignoring his own, he picked up hers and said, "Sit, and I'll put them on for you." As the quiet one in school, she'd learned to excel in other ways. Everyone had always told her how capable she was, and she'd done her best to live up to their expectations. When was the last time she hadn't had to take care of everyone else? Even last night with her girlfriends, she'd tucked each of them into their beds, drunk and giggling, before cleaning up the cabin's kitchen and living room and finally getting to bed herself. For once, it was a pleasure to let someone else take charge for a few minutes. Watching Noah slide one of her skis into place on her ski boot, she said, "You look like you've done that before. Do you have kids? Her unsaid question, or a wife, hung between them. No wife, no kids. He attached her other ski. But I used to be a ski instructor back in college. She made a face. I'm pretty sure the last instructor I took a class from quit. He gave her that breath-stealing grin again. I've always thrived on a challenge. What was he saying? Was he offering to spend the day with her? A fantasy of spending an entire day with Noah, his hot eyes caressing her, his hands on her as he picked her up when she fell, spun through her brain. If she could manage to redeem her earlier performance, would he reward her progress with a kiss? Or more? Watching her carefully, he said, "All you need to do is listen to your body. It isn't about the skis or poles or your feet or the mountain. It's only about you and how you feel." His seductive words wrapped around her. "I could show you how to do that, Colby." "You make it sound so easy," she said, in a far less steady voice than she would have liked. "Not necessarily easy," he countered, "but worth it." She was tempted, so very tempted, to take him up on his offer. But how could she forget what had happened at Christmas with Rob? He'd wanted to spend the weekend at a ritzy ski resort in Colorado, and had promised her that it would be no big deal to teach her how to ski well. Of course, after only an hour on the mountain, he'd started cursing when she'd accidentally cut him off, and he had to take a nosedive in the snow to avoid crashing into her. Almost certain that any impromptu lesson with Noah was bound to end the same way, and not at all in the mood to look any more like a fool than she already did, she forced herself to turn him down. "You came to have a good time today, not to surmount the insurmountable challenge of teaching me to ski. Besides," she said, grasping for any reason she could find, "I'm here with some girlfriends for the weekend." He made a show of looking all around her.
"Do your friends let you go skiing by yourself?"
"Not exactly," she admitted. "I didn't want to hold them back, so I told them to go on without me to the harder runs."
"Sounds to me like you've got the whole day to yourself, Colby."
The way he said her name felt like a heated whisper across her skin.
"Let me prove to you that I'm up to the challenge."
If he had said anything else, she might simply have thanked him for helping her get her skis, pushed off with her poles, and been down at the bottom of the hill within a matter of minutes, leaving him behind. But the word challenge got her. After all, it was why she'd gotten on the ski lift in the first place. It was also the reason she'd quit her job and signed a 12-month retail lease for Indulgence just a handful of weeks ago. All her life, she'd worked hard to please other people, but the way Rob had treated her had been the last straw. Finally, she'd decided to start pleasing herself. Suddenly, she couldn't think of anything that would please her more than spending a day with a gorgeous man on a snowy mountain in Lake Tahoe. She looked up at Noah and smiled. "If you're really up to playing teacher today, then I'll try to be the best student you've ever had." Chapter 3. Noah's entire body reacted to the unintentional sensuality of Colby's words. He wanted to pull her against him again and find out if her mouth tasted as good as it looked. But he could sense how wary she was about spending a few hours with him, so he knew better than to push her too hard. Later, after she felt more comfortable with him, he'd steal a kiss.
"Leave your poles in the snow for now," he told her. "I want you to hold on to my hands instead."
She hesitated for a moment. "Is this how you taught all of your students?" He grinned at her.
"Only the pretty ones."
Flushing, she put her hands in his. "Okay, now what?"
"Close your eyes."
Her immediate frown was so cute, he had to laugh out loud.
"Don't worry. You'll be keeping them open once we head down the hill."
She looked down toward the bottom and grimaced.
"If only we could stay up here forever, Colby."
He waited until she looked back at him.
"I'm not going to make you do anything you're not ready for. Trust me."
He could see in her eyes that she understood he wasn't just talking about skiing. He was talking about the two of them. After a long moment, she finally nodded.
then closed her eyes as he'd asked her to. Adjust your weight so that you're standing evenly on both skis. When she wobbled a little on her skis and stiffened, he said, Don't worry, I've got you, and I'm not going to let you fall. Again, he let his promise settle into her before continuing. I want you to get comfortable, to feel like you're standing as normally as possible, even though you're in boots and skis. That's why I asked you to close your eyes, so that you're not depending on anything but what you're feeling. As she adjusted her weight from one foot to the other with her eyes closed, he took the opportunity to stare at her. She had long, dark eyelashes, and her features were beautifully defined, her cheekbones high, her mouth lush and kissable. Her eyes had been as blue as the lake, and her long, dark hair fell in waves down her shoulders, falling to cover the swell of her breasts. If she was this beautiful in a ski jacket and pants, he couldn't imagine how gorgeous she'd be with nothing on at all, her hair like silk over creamy skin, her big blue eyes blurry with desire as she looked up at him from his bed. When she stopped gripping his hand so tightly, he asked, Are you feeling steadier now? He could see the surprise on her face as she nodded and said, Actually, I am. Good. After he talked her through what he called the lift and tilt technique, and she picked it up just fine, he leaned in close and whispered in her ear, You're ready. She shivered at his warm breath on her earlobe, before taking a deep breath and pushing back her shoulders. When she opened her eyes again, he thought he could already see that desire he'd been fantasizing about in them. Okay, hand me those poles, she said with a sudden grin, and let's do this thing. One sassy little smile was all it took to stop Noah completely in his tracks. My God, he'd never seen anything so beautiful in his life. She simply lit up the entire mountain. When he didn't hand her the poles, she looked down at them and then back at him in confusion. Is everything okay? Everything's great, he finally said. And it was, because he was with the most beautiful girl in the world. Their progress down the mountain wasn't fast, but it was steady. Noah skied backwards so that he could watch her, and she shook her head at him. Show off. When he grinned and replied, I'm a man of many skills, she got so flustered that she toppled over again. Of course, he didn't mind one bit having to pull her into his arms so that he could help her up out of the snow. She was much faster to get going again this time, and he realized that the only problem with teaching her to ski better was that he would spend more time next to her on his skis and less time holding her in his arms in the snow. But it was all worth it to see how triumphant she looked when they got to the bottom. I did it. He would have kissed her then if he didn't think it would undo all the progress he'd just made in getting her to trust him. Nice work. Ready to do it again? She slid her gaze over to the chairlift and paused for a long moment before saying, Okay. It wasn't the most enthusiastic answer in the world, but he'd take what he could get at this point. As they waited in line, she said, I've never seen anyone ski backward before. When did you learn to ski? I was probably the same age as that little girl you were trying to save earlier. My family used to rent the same cottage every winter. They slid onto the lift as it came around for them, and he looked around at the mountains, the trees, the sparkling blue lake. I've always loved it out here. What about you? As you can probably guess, my family wasn't much for skiing. I'm much better at snowball fights, she said, with another one of those cute grins that rocked his world. Once a year, my friends and I meet up for a vacation together, and this year the slopes won out over sand and sun. She shrugged. I've been skiing a few other times as an adult, but I sort of have a thing about heights, too, so these lifts aren't exactly fun for me. He looked down at the ground 100 feet below them, then back up at her. But you're doing great up here. I guess, she said slowly, as if she was as surprised as him. I forgot to be afraid. He didn't think this time, just reached for her hand. I'm glad. By the time Colby fell for what had to be the 20th time, she didn't even have the strength to laugh at herself anymore.
Noah plopped down into the snow and lay back beside her. When he turned to smile at her, her stomach did flip-flops.
Let's make snow angels.
She'd seen people do it in movies, but had never done it herself. Noah went first, moving his arms and legs up and down, back and forth, until she couldn't resist doing the same. A private plane flew overhead, and when the pilot saw what they were doing, he tipped his wings at them. Noah stood up, then pulled her to her feet so that they could admire their snow angels.
They're beautiful, she whispered.
It had been an unexpectedly perfect day, better than any she'd had in a very long time, and she had Noah to thank for it.
You did great today, Colby.
She was never going to be a pro, but he had been patient and encouraging, and she'd had fun. She'd even forgotten to be afraid of heights on the chairlift with him. He was funny and charming and sweet. He loved to ski, not to show off his moves or the latest gear, but because the snowy mountains were beautiful, and feeling the wind on your face as the trees whizzed by was incredibly exhilarating.
What do you say we go find a fire and a vat of hot chocolate?
He suggested. She could so easily see them cuddling together in front of a fire under a thick blanket, her hands in his, her head on his shoulder as they watched the flames dance. A perfect day, followed by what would likely be a perfect night. Colby teetered on the edge of saying yes. But even with the word right there on her tongue, and despite the fact that she'd had a fantastic day with him, she knew that nothing else about her situation had changed. One perfect day with Noah didn't mean she was ready for a new relationship, and she certainly wasn't ready for a one-night stand, especially not with a man who out-talled, out-darked, and out-handsomed every guy she'd ever met by miles. Sure, sex with Noah would probably be great, mind-blowing even, and if she cuddled up with him by a fire, she was 110% sure that she wouldn't be able to resist getting even closer for a kiss that would surely lead to more. But, as she knew from painful experience, after the orgasms faded, the broken heart lingered for way too long. She'd braved the challenge of spending a day with Noah and letting him try to teach her to ski, and she was glad that she had, but there was a difference between bravery and stupidity. She couldn't risk getting hurt again so soon, not when the pain was still resonating from the mistake she'd made in her last relationship. She picked up her skis and slid them back into place on her boots. When she reached for her poles, Noah grabbed her hands instead. Even touching him through their thick gloves sent a shock of awareness through her.
Colby, what's wrong?
Maybe if she had met him a few weeks from now, when she didn't feel quite so raw, so vulnerable, she could have taken the risk. But with where her heart was right now, one day on skis was all she could handle. She didn't want to hurt him, didn't want to do anything to ruin the gift of this day he'd given her. So she quickly said,
"My friends are probably wondering where I am. Call them."
He pulled out his cell phone.
"Tell them you're with me. Give them my name and phone number so they'll be able to track both of us down if they need to."
Again, she was tempted. So very tempted. But more than that, she was afraid of what she was feeling for Noah after meeting him only hours ago. It was too much, too fast, way too much. "Thank you again, Noah. I had a really good time with you today. Better than you know." She risked one more look into his dark eyes. "But I've got to go now." Digging her poles into the soft snow, she pushed away from him and went flying down the hill faster than she ever had. And wouldn't you know it, the miracle of all miracles happened. She made it down to the bottom in one piece. "See, that's proof," she told herself. "You did the right thing by turning down a night with the hottest guy on the planet." Only even after she was finally safely inside her cabin, with the door locked behind her, her ski clothes in a heap on the floor, fresh from a scalding hot shower, with her plans for her new store spread out all around her, as she waited for her friends to return from their day on the slopes, she still wasn't sure she believed it. Chapter 4. Seattle, Washington. 1 week later. Noah Bryant threw the basketball toward the hoop,
and when it barely caught the rim, he turned to his friend and said, "I met a woman in Lake Tahoe last weekend, and I can't get her out of my head." Rafe Sullivan caught the basketball as it fell. "Is that what you're blaming for your performance today?" It wasn't like Noah to let a woman who captured his interest go without getting her number, or, at the very least, her last name, so that he could look her up. But the beautiful, lushly rounded woman on the ski slopes had rattled his brain. And not just because they'd gone tumbling down the hill together, and then spent several great hours together while he taught her to ski. No, his brain had stopped functioning right from that first moment he'd put his hands on her, and had breathed in her soft floral scent. And then she'd pressed herself against him, and he'd lost his balance, an ex-ski instructor who couldn't keep his skis in line for the life of him. But falling had been worth it, more than worth it, because it had meant he'd been able to hold her, talk to her, laugh with her, and drink in her incredible beauty. Unfortunately, hours later, she'd left him all alone at the top of the mountain. Wanting to kiss her, and laugh with her both in and out of bed, and find out everything about her, but knowing it couldn't ever become a reality, because he didn't have the first clue how to find her. He'd been useless at work today, so he thought he'd play a game of pickup basketball with his friend Rafe. Turned out he was useless at basketball, too. Noah and Rafe had gone to college together at the University of Washington, and over the past few years, Maverick International, the company Noah worked for as VP of Legal Affairs, had hired Rafe several times. Rafe was the best private investigator in Seattle, and had come through for them in spades each time they'd needed his services. Why hadn't he thought of this earlier? "I need you to find her." Rafe's eyebrows went up.
"You don't have the girl's number."
"Actually," Noah admitted, "I don't know her full name, either." He couldn't blame his buddy for laughing at him as he asked, "How long was this meeting you had with her, exactly?" Noah gave his friend the quick nuts and bolts of pulling her up out of the snow and tumbling partway down the mountain with her in his arms before teaching her to ski.
"All I know is that her name is Colby, and she was at Heavenly Ski Resort last weekend."
Rafe gave him a strange look.
"Wait a minute. What did you say her name was?"
"Colby." His friend looked like he was thinking about something.
"Helps that it's a pretty rare name. Can't be a lot of Colbys out there. I take it you've already called the ski resort to see if they could give you any information about her?"
"I did. They told me they couldn't give out the name of one of their guests." "Then again," Noah added, "I probably didn't ask the right questions of the right people." He paused.
"I need you to do this for me, Rafe. I need you to find her."
But instead of agreeing readily, Rafe said,
"I can't help thinking, what if this were my sister some guy was trying to find? And what if she didn't want to be found? Then I'll leave her alone."
Noah promised.
"But there was something there, damn it, and I need at least one more chance to prove it to her."
"Okay." Rafe pulled his phone out of his gym bag to take some notes.
"Tell me what she looks like, and the exact date and time that you ran into her, and I'll see what I can do."
Meanwhile, across town, Mia Sullivan opened up one of the last remaining boxes of Colby's initial stock, and when she unwrapped a gorgeous set of French lace and silk panties, she made a purely female sound of pleasure that Colby knew most guys would give their left arm to hear her friend make for them. "These are going to fly off the shelves," Mia said, as she lovingly caressed the super soft silk. "I'm going to have to hide a pair so I can buy them for myself."
"Take them home with you tonight," Colby said, as she perched atop a stepladder to finish hanging the curtain in front of her dressing room. "Consider them a small thank you for all you've done to help me get the store ready."
She was amazed by how quickly everything was coming together. Then again, Colby had been dreaming about opening Indulgence for so long that she'd known exactly what she'd wanted to sell and how the interior should look. She was on the verge of opening her doors tomorrow, which happened to be Valentine's Day. She hoped that it would be just in time for all the men in Seattle to buy her out getting last-minute gifts for the women in their lives. but she liked the significance of the day for another reason as well. This store was her gift to herself, and was proof positive that she didn't need a man in her life to make her happy. She could make herself happy, damn it. Still, she'd had more super sexy dreams during the past week than she'd had in her entire life. And Noah from Lake Tahoe had starred in every last one of them. She'd hoped her endless hours of working to get her store ready to open would help her forget him, but they hadn't. If anything, she found him popping up in her thoughts all the time, like how she'd forgotten to be afraid on the ski lift with him, and now she refused to be afraid to go to the top of the Space Needle. When she'd unwrapped a box of gift books on angels, her heart had clenched at the memory of the snow angels they'd made together. And when she saw a couple holding hands as they walked down the sidewalk outside, she'd thought about the way he'd held her hand for a little while, and how right it had felt, snow gloves and all. When she sighed, Mia shot her a look. Still thinking about the guy from the slopes, aren't you? There was no point in pretending otherwise, not when her friend had laser vision for things like this. After all, hadn't Mia been the one to question Rob's scum-like qualities long before Colby had walked in on him cheating on her? Mia's brother Rafe might be the PI, but there was no question about her people-reading skills. It was what made her such a great realtor. She had a knack for pairing up her clients with just the right properties, even when they swore they were looking for something else entirely. "I thought turning him down was the right thing to do," Colby said. "And maybe it was, but I've said no to dating plenty of guys and never given it a second thought. Until now." Yes, he'd certainly made an impression on her up on the snowy mountain, but how could she possibly have known just how big a deal meeting him really was? Especially when she'd still been so hurt by what Rob had done. Because hadn't her ex seemed great on first meet, only to end up not being great at all? But as she'd awakened over and over again in the middle of the night from yet another sexy dream about Noah, her skin sensitive and overheated as her sheets brushed over it, she'd found herself wondering why she'd ever compared Rob to Noah. Sure, she hadn't really known Noah apart from the warmth of his arms around her, and his strength and his ability to hold her steady, even as she'd sent them tumbling together down the mountain, and his concern for a complete stranger, when Colby had bit the dust avoiding a small child in the snow, and his patience and encouragement in teaching her to ski. But hadn't she known for far longer than she'd wanted to admit to herself that Rob wasn't going to be her forever? And hadn't she simply stayed with him out of the fear of being alone? Yes, it had hurt when she'd caught him cheating, but how much of it had been her heart that hurt? And how much of it had been the fact that he'd stung her pride with his callous behavior? Suddenly, she wished she could rewind to that day on the slopes. She wished she could have been brave enough to accept more than an offer to learn to ski from a sinfully gorgeous man, whose strong and steady heartbeat she could still feel against her cheek in her dreams. Why didn't I get his number, at least? Mia carefully tucked the tissue-wrapped French lingerie into her purse. "You should call Rafe. I'll bet he could help you find the guy." Colby started laughing, then stopped when she realized her friend was serious. "You really think I should hire a private investigator to find a guy I spent a few hours with in Lake Tahoe?" "Look," Mia said, looking as serious as she ever got, "I heard all that stuff you said about not wanting to be distracted by a guy right now, but you and I both know that your store is going to do really well whether or not you're dating someone. I think the real reason you blew off what sounded like a super hot, super great guy was because your ex made you lose faith in all men, rather than just him." Mia's expression turned fierce. "Rob didn't deserve you while you were dating, and he sure as heck doesn't deserve to ruin your next relationship, too." Mia pulled her cell phone out of her purse, scrolled through the numbers in her contacts, and put it to her ear. Before Colby could tackle her friend and make her drop the phone, she was saying, "Hey, Rafe, Colby needs to talk to you about something really important." She had no choice but to take the phone Mia shoved into her hand. "Hi, Rafe." "Colby, it's been too long."
She knew he was grinning, just from the sound of his voice. How are things? Every one of Mia's brothers was good-looking and charming, but she'd always felt the most comfortable with Rafe, which was a good thing, considering the very embarrassing favor Mia wanted her to ask of him. Mia's helping me get my new store ready to open tomorrow morning. Okay, she told herself, as she answered his questions about the store. Even if Rafe did find Noah, it didn't mean she had to marry him. She could just ask him on a date, and then, depending on how that went, they could see if it made sense to go on another one. Really, there was no need to be so nervous about seeing him again. It wasn't like he was going to declare his undying love to her or anything. Besides, given that Mia would never let her hear the end of it if she didn't bite the bullet, she knew her friend was only trying to look out for her, even if her methods were a bit unorthodox. Colby took a breath and barreled ahead. The thing is, Rafe, I was wondering if you could help me find someone. An hour later, Mia was surprised to find her brother waiting in her real estate office when she got back from helping Colby a short while later. Not, of course, that any of the Sullivan Realty staff minded keeping Rafe entertained in her absence. Fortunately, her brother knew she'd kill him if he so much as looked at any of her employees the wrong way. As far as she was concerned, every woman in Seattle was fair game, except for the six women who worked for her. "I'm glad you're here," she told him when he finally extricated himself from her staff and closed her office door behind him. She handed him a color printout she'd been saving for him. "I found the perfect summer cabin for you."
"I don't need a summer cabin," he told her.
But when he looked at the picture of the cabin and started reading, she smiled and sat back in her chair to watch him. As kids, their parents used to rent a cabin on a lake in the Cascades every summer. All of them had a good time swimming and fishing and hiking, but Rafe had loved it more than any of them. Sure, Mia thought, Rafe might not need a summer cabin, but it didn't mean his life wouldn't be better for owning it. He tucked the paper into his pocket before sitting on her leather couch.
"I've got a funny story to tell you," he said. "You remember that guy I went to college with? The one you were all drooly over when you were in high school, and you came to visit us one weekend? He works with the Maverick Group now."
Mia thought about it for a second before snapping her fingers. How could I possibly forget Noah? She heaved a sigh of remembered appreciation. Tall, dark, gorgeous. She shook her head. "I've always thought it was too bad he wasn't into 15-year-old girls."
"I would have killed him,"
Rafe growled, before telling her,
"He hired me to find a girl he met a week ago in Lake Tahoe."
Mia's eyes grew big. No way. He's the guy Colby bailed on at the top of the mountain? Rafe grinned.
"And now she's hired me to find him, too. About time I had a couple of easy cases like this."
Mia grinned back, the wicked spark in her eyes matching her brother's perfectly. "Tomorrow's Valentine's Day, you know." He raised an eyebrow.
"And?
How about instead of just calling them with the info, we have a little fun with this? Because I think I've got the perfect plan." Chapter 5. February 14th. Valentine's Day. At 7:15 p.m., a full hour and 15 minutes after her store should already have closed, Colby rang up a beautiful pair of handmade earrings for an extremely relieved-looking man. When she waved goodbye and finally locked the door behind him, she sagged against the glass. Her feet were killing her, and she was miles beyond exhausted, but she couldn't stop smiling, because it had been the best day of Colby's life. Her girlfriends had been the first ones inside the store, and she'd been touched by how sweet it was for them all to drop by. Even her old co-workers came by to see what indulgence was all about. More than one of them had bought a gift for his girlfriend or wife. Just that alone would have been enough to make it a great first day. But her friends had gone one step further and told their friends about her store. And, of course, Mia had spent half the day on Twitter and Facebook, letting everyone on the planet know about the new store they simply had to check out. She'd barely had a chance to think about Noah all day, or to wonder if Rafe had made any progress in finding him,
or to daydream about how right it had felt when his arms were around her and she was... Colby had to laugh at herself as she grabbed her purse and shut off the lights. Mia was waiting for her at the swanky new cocktail bar down the street to celebrate, so instead of cleaning up now, she'd come back early the next morning to restock. Stepping out the back door of her store into the damp, cold Seattle night, she took a deep breath. She loved the Pacific Northwest, and even when a steady stream of cloudy days had her praying for slivers of blue sky, she couldn't imagine living anywhere else. There were red and pink hearts plastered to every storefront in honor of Valentine's Day. Last year, she'd spent it with Rob at an overpriced restaurant, with food that had been far too rich for her taste. Of course, her ex had loved it, because it was the hottest place in town. If only she'd had the confidence then that she had now, she would never have wasted her time with him. Quitting her job had been a risk. Opening up the store had been a risk. Both of those had paid off in spades. Asking Rafe to find Noah was a risk, too. But if things kept going this well, Colby was starting to feel pretty good about her odds. Noah Bryant loosened his tie and settled into one of the chairs in the cocktail lounge to wait for Rafe. Surprised when he'd texted about meeting up tonight, Noah hadn't been able to reach his friend all day to find out what was up, but hoping it was good news about Colby, he'd immediately agreed. Noah had had a busy week at the Maverick Group's Seattle office, with a big deal he'd been working on for months finally closing. Still, he couldn't shake his discontent, because he couldn't stop thinking about Colby and wondering if he was ever going to see her again. If it turned out that Rafe hadn't found Colby yet, Noah was finally going to do what he should have done a week ago. He was going to call every goddamn number in Lake Tahoe, no matter how long it took to find her. And then he was going to do a hell of a lot better job of convincing her to give him a chance than he'd done last week. So many things about her had resonated with him in those first few minutes they'd spent together. The jolts of pure physical attraction. The fact that she was his exact ideal of what a woman should look and feel and smell like. And, most of all, that Colby was the kind of person who tried to help a little child she thought was in trouble, even when helping someone else meant she was going to get herself into more trouble. She was the kind of woman who went tumbling down a mountain in a stranger's arms, and was far more concerned about making sure she hadn't hurt him than she was for her own bruises. Noah's parents were in a good, loving relationship. Baggage and commitment issues weren't the reason he hadn't yet married and started a family. He simply hadn't found the right woman yet. But in only a handful of minutes in Lake Tahoe, hadn't he known that he was looking at a woman he could fall in love with? Hadn't his soul recognized his mate, even as his intellect had tried to get him to look at things rationally? His phone buzzed with an incoming text. He saw Rafe's name and figured he was just checking in about being late. But that wasn't what the message said. "I found her. Hallelujah." Noah wanted to cheer and pump his fist in the air. "Where is she?" Rafe's answer came a beat later. "In the bar." Noah blinked at the words once, twice, three times before believing them, at which point he stood up so fast he knocked his drink over. But he didn't stop to write it, not when he was too busy scanning every face in the room to care about the beer dripping onto his shoes. And then he saw her. She was standing at the bar with a friend who was pointing straight at him. "My God," he thought, just as he had on the mountaintop in Lake Tahoe, "she really is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And so damn sweet, from the inside out, that it made his chest hurt just looking at her." Noah wasn't the kind of guy who had a bunch of check boxes he was trying to fill. Ideas came when it was their time. Business flowed when it was meant to be. And he'd always known a wife and a family would come too, when they should. Now. He wanted her now. He moved swiftly through the crowd toward her, and she stood and stared at him as if she couldn't believe her eyes. "Noah?" Just seeing and hearing his name on those gorgeous lips had him instantly as aroused as he had ever been. But it wasn't just his body responding to her.
This time he was all in, heart and soul. He'd learned his lesson in Lake Tahoe, knew how bad it had been to lose her once. He wouldn't lose her again. Colby. Her name was a caress on his lips as he smiled down at her beautifully expressive face. I've been thinking about you all week, and now... He couldn't stop himself from touching her, from brushing his knuckles across the soft skin of her lightly flushed cheek. Here you are, my very own wish come true. I've thought about you too. She looked away for a moment, as though she was embarrassed. More than I should have. They were standing in the middle of a crowded bar on one of the busiest nights of the year, but all he saw was Colby, and all he heard were her quickening breaths as the crowd jostled them into each other's arms. Until her friend said, "It's nice to see you again, Noah." He was hard-pressed to pull his gaze away from Colby, but when he did, he finally recognized her friend. "Mia Sullivan?" "I'm glad you remember," Mia said with a grin. "I'm not 15 anymore, but you're clearly taken, so I'll catch up with both of you later. Oh, and Rafe says to tell both of you this one is on the house." Her eyes sparkled with mischief. "Have fun, you two." A moment later, she'd disappeared into the crowd, and he was alone again with Colby. "You know Rafe?" she asked. "He was my roommate in college," Noah explained. "And you practically grew up in the Sullivan house. I asked him to look for you," he told her. "So did I," she admitted. He shook his head. "I don't understand. Why did you leave me in Lake Tahoe without any way to find you?" She looked uncertain for a long moment. Finally, she admitted, "I was scared." She bit her lip. "Of all the things you were making me feel, even though we'd just met." He could tell how big a deal it was for her to admit that to him. And it pleased him to know that she was trying to trust him, at least a little bit. "Tell me, Colby. Tell me what I made you feel." "The same things you're making me feel right now," she said in a soft voice that he had to lean closer to hear. Her scent wrapped around him again, drew him in even further. He wanted to breathe her in everywhere, wanted to know what her skin tasted like in all those same places. "Like my heart is going to beat out of my chest just because you're here." He knew she was being honest with him, but at the same time, he could tell she was still cautious, still nervous about being with him. He wanted not only to know all of her secret desires, her secret pleasures, he wanted to know the secret to her heart. "Don't run again, Colby." He smiled down at her. "I'm not sure Rafe would be up for helping us a second time." As her hesitation gave way to a smile, his breath caught in his throat. Beautiful didn't even begin to describe the woman standing before him. Stunning didn't cut it either. She was perfect. "Finding you again like this proves what I've known since the moment I saw you." He caressed her cheek again, pausing with his hand just cupping her chin, loving the anticipation in her gaze, the way she was all but begging him to kiss her with that hungry look in her eyes. "What did you know?" she asked, barely above a whisper. "That we were a perfect fit." He leaned in close, close enough that he could have kissed her. Instead, he said, "And that we belong together." He could almost taste the sweetness of her lips, was about to pull her soft curves against him, when a flicker of doubt flashed in her eyes at the very last second, and she pulled away from him, just as she had on the ski slopes right before she'd left him. He watched her force a laugh, as if he'd been kidding about being soulmates. "I've never heard a pickup line quite like that one before. Does it usually work?" She was clearly pushing for a reaction, trying to see if she could get him to walk away this time, but he wasn't going anywhere. "I don't know," he said softly. "I've never said it to anyone before." He heard her breath catch, watched as her cheeks flushed and even deeper rose. "But we hardly know each other." Noah wanted to find out who had put that wariness into her eyes. Not only was he going to kill the sorry bastard, he was also going to spend the rest of his life making sure no one ever hurt her again. "What if I can prove to you that it's true?" Interest sparked at his challenging words, but too quickly the wariness came back. "How could you possibly do that?" You gave me one perfect day in Lake Tahoe. Now I want one night.
He moved closer again and took one of her trembling hands in his.
One night with you.
He entwined his fingers with hers, and she stopped shaking as he held her tight.
One night to love you the way you've always wanted to be loved.
He dipped his head down so that he could whisper in her ear.
One perfect night to make all of your secret desires and dreams come true.
When he pulled back slightly to take in her reaction, he could see the pulse point at the base of her neck moving wildly beneath her creamy, smooth skin. She shook her head, desire now warring with wariness in her beautiful blue eyes.
You could do all that in one night?
Noah had always followed his instincts, whether with family or friends or business. And right now, his instincts were telling him to stop thinking, stop talking, stop trying to convince Colby of his intentions, and just do. Gently cupping her face with his free hand, her skin so soft beneath his palm, the heat from her skin searing him, he tilted her face up to his and whispered,
"Yes,"
right before taking her mouth with his. Chapter 6. Noah kissed her the way she'd always wanted to be kissed, with passion, with decadent, sinful purpose, and more sweet emotion than she'd even known was possible. And even though it was their first kiss, he wasn't afraid to sweep his tongue between her teeth, and his boldness gave her the courage to take what she wanted, him. Their tongues danced, mating so beautifully that she heated up as much behind her breastbone as she did everywhere else. It was blissful being with a man who wasn't worried about moving too fast or too slow, only with making love to her mouth. He led their dance, and although she was more than glad to follow wherever he took her, she was tasting him, too, learning the corners where his lips came together with the tip of her tongue, gently biting his lower lip between her teeth and sucking it into her mouth. A groan of pleasure vibrated from his chest to hers, and she was powerless against the urge to press her breasts against his hard chest. His groan turned into a growl of desire, and then his hand moved from her face to thread through her hair as he tilted her head back so that he could have better access to her mouth. Noah didn't ask her to tell him what she wanted. He didn't stop to ask if what he was doing was okay, if it felt good. He simply gave her pleasure, knowing exactly what she wanted without her having to spell it out for him. And the truth was that standing in a crowded bar while a gorgeous man kissed her senseless was every fantasy she'd ever had come true.
Come home with me, Colby.
Missing his kiss already, instead of answering his request, she put her hands on either side of his face and pulled his mouth back down to hers. This time, she was the one kissing him as if her life depended on it. When they finally drew back from one another, he asked,
"Is that a yes?"
She'd never wanted to say yes to any question more. But hurt, and the fear of being hurt again, was a tricky thing she was learning. Tricky enough that even Noah's kisses couldn't completely eradicate it.
"You're so sure," she said. "So certain. But what if one night ends up being a mistake?"
Another man might have gotten frustrated, might have tried to rush her from the bar to his house so that they could get out of their clothes and get down to business. Noah simply stroked her gently with his hand still in her hair and asked,
"Do you remember what I said to you up on the ski slopes?"
Of course she did. She hadn't been able to forget any part of the wonderful day they'd shared in Lake Tahoe. When she nodded, he said,
"Tell me, sweetheart."
The endearment, so pure and sweet, warmed her in places that had been cold for so long. At the same time, his eyes were dark with desire. It was a combination that turned her knees to mush and made her head spin. This was it, the moment of truth. Was she going to be brave, or was she going to be tormented by sinfully sexy dreams that never went far enough? For the rest of her life, was she going to regret leaving Noah here in this cocktail bar, just because there were no guarantees that everything would work out and that they'd end up together forever? Especially when the dangerously wicked look in Noah's eyes made her feel more alive than anything else ever had.
"You told me all I needed to do was listen to my body, and that you were going to show me how,"
She licked her lips, and his gaze followed the path of her tongue, making her lips tingle as if he'd kissed them instead. And then you asked me to take your hands, to close my eyes, and to trust you. He'd asked her for a night together in Lake Tahoe, but she'd been too afraid of what she was feeling to dare accept. Now, as he took a step back, then reached his hands out for her just as he had on the ski slope, she made her choice with her eyes wide open and slipped her hands into his. Colby had no idea what parts of Seattle they passed on the way to Noah's house. She couldn't focus on anything but the hand he'd placed on her skirt across her upper thigh. Even though he wasn't touching bare skin, wasn't kissing her, wasn't even saying any sinfully sweet things to her at the moment, her hormones were racing around as if he were doing all of those things at once. While he carefully watched the wet and slippery road through the windshield wipers, she took the opportunity to drink him in. The faint stubble across his chin, the small scar above his right eyebrow, the dark hair that brushed just past his collar. Everything about him was pure male perfection, and she couldn't believe she was going to get to kiss and touch every inch of him soon. "Keep looking at me like that, and we may not make it all the way to my house after all." Pleasure lit through her veins. She used to dream of someone wanting her like this, until she'd nearly stopped dreaming altogether. But as he pulled into his garage, the weight in her stomach that had lifted when she was in his arms fell part of the way back into place. She turned her face from him, not wanting him to see her wavering again, especially since she could guess that Noah was a man who made a decision and stuck by it, regardless of the risks. Colby. Only a coward would continue to stare out the window. She'd been a coward in Lake Tahoe, and where had it gotten her? Racked with desperate dreams of the man she'd thought she would never find again. She turned her face back to his just as he said, "I would never do anything to hurt you. Do you believe me?" Just a few weeks ago, Colby had vowed never to trust another man as long as she lived, not with her body, and definitely not with her heart, which was why she had to be honest with Noah, regardless of how much she wanted him, and even though she'd already promised him the night. "I don't know you, and since it turns out I shouldn't have trusted a man I thought I knew so well, I have to ask myself, how can I trust you now?" Noah responded to her honesty by picking up her hand and placing it over her heart, covering it with his, right here. Now he moved their hands to his chest, pressing her palm over his breastbone, and here. He paused, letting her feel the strong, steady beat of his heart. "That's what we're going to listen to tonight." She thought he would kiss her again to really make his point, but he didn't. He simply brushed his other hand across her cheek and said, "Come inside so that we can get to know each other better." His gaze darkened again, heating the car up at least 10 degrees. "Before I strip your clothes off and make love to you." She was supposed to be able to get out of the car after he said something like that? Fortunately, he came around to take her hand, so it didn't matter if her legs were less steady than ever in her heels. When, she wondered, was the last time a man had done something even as simple as that? An everyday courtesy that meant so much. Moments later, he was leading her inside his stunning house, complete with a wraparound view of Puget Sound. "Noah, your house is incredible." Despite the huge windows, it was warm and welcoming, rather than just a big fancy box built to maximize the view rather than comfort. She could easily see herself living in this house, making dinner in the large kitchen, curling up under a blanket to read on the couch. "I told my architect I wanted a place I could raise a family in." Although she had only a vague idea of how much a waterfront house like this cost in Seattle, it had to be a heck of a lot more zeros than she'd ever seen. Slowly, she turned to him and asked, "Should I know who you are?" He drew her to him as his heated laughter filled up all of her empty spaces. "My sister would tell you not to do my ego any favors." Oh, how Colby loved hearing him laugh. There was such warmth in his joy, such pleasure, too. Already, she found herself wanting more than one night. She wanted to hear him laugh while they were riding bicycles around the lake, or while they were rolling around together on a bed, tickling and teasing each other. She already wanted him, but though the week she'd already waited for him had been too long, now she wanted to know him, too, even if it meant having to wait a little while longer for another kiss. "Tell me about your family, Noah." He moved into the kitchen and pulled out a bottle of Cabernet. It was what she'd been drinking at the bar, and she wondered how he'd even had a chance to notice what was in her glass. Then again, he'd noticed everything, didn't he? He poured two glasses and brought them over to where she was still standing by the floor-to-ceiling window. She took the glass from him as they sat on the couch. "My parents are great. They've been married 35 years and still live in San Francisco, where I grew up. My sister Barbara lives there, too. She's 2 years older than me and used to beat the hell out of me when we were kids." Noah was at least 6'2". His shoulders were broad, and his arms were obviously muscular even beneath his dress shirt. "I can't picture anyone being able to beat you up," Colby said. "When you meet my sister and see that she's barely 5 feet tall, you'll think I was kidding," he said with a very disarming grin. "But I used to call her killer when we were kids." He was doing it again, talking to her as though what they were doing wasn't just a one-night thing. Not if you meet my sister, when. Hope flared in her chest, and even though she knew it would be smarter to keep her guard up to protect herself, she didn't want to force herself to push it away this time. And even though she was going into one night with her eyes wide open, she wanted simply to close them and fall into Noah's waiting arms. As he'd asked her to do on the mountain in Lake Tahoe, she wanted to close them and just feel.
"What else do you want to know?"
he asked, and she didn't even need to think before answering, "Everything."
"I want to know everything about you too," he agreed. "But first, I want this."
His mouth was on hers before she could take her next breath, forcing her to take it from him instead. Every kiss he gave her pushed out more of the darkness her ex had left her with, and filled it instead with sparkles as bright as the stars outside his living room window, until she felt as if she were shimmering as beautifully as the moonlit sound. And then she was so lost to anything but the way his lips sipped at hers, his tongue slowly tasting her lips from corner to corner, before he plundered the depths of her mouth again. When he finally pulled back and started to speak again, it took several seconds for her synapses to fire. "Wait," she said, as she brushed the tips of her fingers across her tingling lips. "I just missed all of that. Can you start over?" On a laugh, he bent his head to kiss her again, but she said, "If you keep doing that, I'm never going to be able to focus on what you're telling me about yourself, and we'll be here on your couch all night."
"In that case, we're going to have to make this quick," he said, as he stared down at her with hungry eyes. "I'm 33. I work for the Maverick Group here in Seattle. I play basketball a couple of times a week, and you already know I love to ski. And I recently learned that I have a major thing for pretty brunettes with blue eyes. Your turn now."
She was just as anxious as he was to get on with the making love part of their evening, so she didn't waste any more time than he had. "I'm 30. I used to work for a gaming company, but I recently quit to open my own store on Lake Street in downtown Kirkland. It's called Indulgence."
"I like the name you chose," he said, as he stroked his hand over her hair and left it cupping the back of her neck.
It felt good to be held by him like that, and also to be able to tell him, "Today was my first day in business." She couldn't have held back her smile if she'd tried. It went amazingly well.
"Of course it did," he said,
as if her opening day couldn't have gone any other way. She was so tempted to kiss him again, but first she wanted to add, "While I'm a much better ice skater than I am a skier, swimming is really my sport, and..." She paused to press her palm to his cheek, loving the way his rough stubble scratched her skin.
"And?"
She leaned in closer. "And I've recently learned that I have a major thing for green-eyed ski instructors." Their mouths met again, another hungry exploration of desire that told her as much about Noah as anything he'd said. His mouth was at once rough and gentle, and he gave at least as much as he took. He knew what he wanted from her, and she knew he intended to have it, but even then she could feel him holding on to his control, until he knew that she was ready for him to lose it. Any other guy would have taken her into the bedroom by the time they pulled apart, but when he ran the pad of his thumb over her tingling lower lip and said, "What about your family?" she was amazed to realize that he'd actually meant it when he said he wanted to get to know her better before making love to her. He was still the best-looking man she'd ever seen up close and in person, but now that she'd had a chance to spend some time talking to him, she saw more than just his good looks. She saw strength and sweetness at the core of who he was. "I used to wish for a sister or brother," she found herself telling him, "but my parents split up when I was really young. I grew up with just my mom."
"Did she remarry?"
"After my father walked out on her, I guess she didn't trust men anymore. She dated, but once things got serious with a boyfriend, she always broke it off."
"Before they could hurt her, the way your father hurt her,"
he said, with immediate insight. She'd never told anyone this before, not even Mia. How, she wondered, could it be so natural to open up to Noah so much? "Yes," she said softly. "She warned me to be careful about trusting my heart to anyone."
"I'm sure she thought she was doing her best for her daughter, didn't she?"
She heard what he wasn't saying, that her mother had unintentionally led her astray. "But she was right, because the one time I let down my guard, I..." She shook her head. "I should have known better."
"Who hurt you, Colby?"
She shook her head, hating the way her mouth was starting to wobble at the corners. "We'd been dating for almost a year." She didn't want to say his name aloud, didn't want to let any part of Rob's memory ruin this night for her. "I found him in bed with someone from work." She'd thought the woman was a friend, but she'd been wrong about both of them. "But do you know why I'm really angry? Not because he cheated on me, but because I already knew he wasn't the right man for me. I should have had the courage to break up with him before he cheated." Anger moved across Noah's face.
"Your ex-boyfriend was an idiot. How could he have not known what he had?"
He pulled her closer into him, so gentle and yet so strong all at the same time.
"I never want to hurt you, Colby,"
he promised in that deep voice that sizzled up and down her spine before landing smack dab in the center of her heart.
"Do you know what I'm going to do instead?"
Oh my, she almost didn't dare ask. "What?"
"I'm going to love you."
"Yes," she whispered, wondering if she'd ever be able to catch her breath all the way again. "Make love to me, Noah. Please. I can't wait anymore." Chapter 7. As Colby lifted her mouth to Noah's and she kissed him, the ache inside him both deepened and gave way to the greatest pleasure he'd ever known. He swept her up into his arms, hardly able to believe that he was finally going to get to strip off her clothes, to touch her soft skin, to learn every inch of her beauty. Even as he held her in his arms and kissed her lips, he ached for her. When he finally put her down in his bedroom, letting her curves slide slowly over his muscles until her feet touched the floor, he put his hands on either side of her face and stared down at her. His chest clenched tight at the depth of her beauty, just looking at her, without yet touching anything but her face, at his breath coming in ragged pants.
"I feel like I've been waiting forever for you,"
he said, right before he finally gave in to the need to have her, the greed that had been eating him up since the first moment he'd held her in the snow in Lake Tahoe. He ran kisses from her mouth, over the arch of her cheekbones, to the gorgeous curve of her neck. She smelled like rain and red wine and woman, and his head spun with wanting her. Maybe if he were a better man, he could have held back longer, could have been more patient, could have given her more reasons to trust him. But right now, all that mattered was making her his. He moved his hands to her shoulders, and then ran them over her silky shirt until he found three little buttons just behind her neck and undid them. A moment later, she was raising her arms for him so that he could slip the shirt over her head. Every inch of skin that he uncovered, he had to cover with his mouth. As he slowly drew her shirt up and off,
and discovered the places that made her gasp with pleasure, the upper swell of her breasts, the indentation of her belly button, the hollow of her shoulder. He lingered there and there and there to please them both. When he finally let her shirt fall to the floor and lifted his mouth from her skin, his breath caught in his throat again. She was wearing a pink lace and silk bra that was so fine it was nearly translucent. He wanted to leave it on her so that he could memorize her beauty, but primal need was urging him to rip it off her, too. He lowered his mouth and flicked one taut peak with his tongue, and when she moaned and arched into him, her hands threading into his hair so that she could hold him close, he had to close his lips over her nipple on a moan of his own. She moved against him, pure sensual woman, and he drank in the sound of her shuddering breaths, the way she trembled with need. Unable to resist, he drew down the cups of the bra with rougher hands than he would have if he'd been less desperate for her, if he hadn't spent the last week wishing for this moment. Just looking at her like this had Noah forgetting every other woman he'd ever been with. Colby's skin was lightly flushed, and her full rose-tipped breasts beckoned him. He cupped them in his large hands, stroking the soft flesh reverently, until his greed and boundless hunger for her took him over again. With a harsh yank on the delicate fabric, he pulled the bra completely off and let it fall. He lowered his mouth to her again, only this time there was no silk, no lace between them, while he teased her and himself with long strokes of his tongue and the gentle slide of his teeth over sensitive flesh. Noah wanted her so damn much, a wanting that went so far beyond desire that it could only mean one thing. He was falling head over heels for her, had started falling the second she'd lifted her head from the snow in Lake Tahoe and looked into his eyes. One look was all it had taken for him to see not only how beautiful she was, but also how sweet. With his hands, he cupped her exquisite breasts, and when she arched into his hands and mouth, he couldn't stifle a groan of pleasure. He moved his mouth away so that her nipples beaded against his palm. He couldn't wait for other nights when he'd spend hours on her breasts, where he'd taste and tease her with his lips and tongue and teeth, when he could let the greed rest for long enough to play. But as she whispered, "I love the way you touch me," he knew savoring her, teasing and tempting her until she was begging for release, would have to come later. Her lush curves had driven him crazy, even on the ski slopes, when he'd caught her as they fell, and he'd held her against him to keep her safe. Noah wasn't an ass man. He wasn't a breast man. He wasn't a leg man. He was an everything man. With lips and hands, he caressed every inch of her skin as he continued to undress her, sliding the zipper of her skirt down so that it, too, could drop onto his bedroom floor with her blouse. "You look like an angel," he said, when she stood before him in nothing but the sexiest lingerie he'd ever seen. "A naughty angel." "I was wearing the same thing when we were making snow angels," she told him, "underneath my ski clothes. If I had known that..." He took her all the way to the bed and laid her on it, her hair spread out across the pillow, her body lush, her skin soft, his every dream come true. "I wouldn't have let you go." Colby knew her body wasn't perfect. Her hips were a little too big. Her legs would never be long and lean like a model's. But she also knew how responsive she was to touch. And she knew how much desire there was in Noah's eyes whenever he looked at her. Lust flared so powerfully from him that heat flowed all across her skin. From that first moment up on the snowy mountain, he'd looked at her like that, whether she was covered in a down jacket or was naked except for her panties and heels. He desired her. And for the first time in her life, she felt absolutely perfect. As beautiful as he'd, repeatedly, told her she was. She didn't know how long he simply stared before he finally put his hands on her. All she knew was that it was too long. But whatever she'd expected from him,
It wasn't this slow movement of his hands over her face, his fingertips caressing the curve of her eyebrows, the arch of her cheekbones, the thrust of her chin, and then down her neck to the curve of her shoulders, the soft edges of her breasts, the bones of her ribcage, until he reached the soft swell of her stomach and hips. She tried to keep her eyes open, tried to hold on to rational thought, but oh, it felt so good, and ultimately she had no choice but to sink into the pleasure of his touch, her eyes fluttering closed as she drank in the shocking sweetness of his hands on her. Slowly, he ran his hands down her thighs, skirting past the extremely sensitive skin on the backs of her knees, to press his fingertips into her calves so perfectly that she groaned aloud at the pleasure of his touch. He slipped off her heels, and when her feet were bare, he stroked them too, with the pads of his thumbs, as if he wanted to give every part of her pleasure, leaving nothing out. And then, finally, he drew her panties from her body too. Beautiful. The one word from Noah's lips was more of a caress than any other man's touch. So beautiful. She opened her eyes just in time to see him lick his lips at the sight of her sex, slick and wet and completely bared to his gaze, and she finally realized he still had all of his clothes on. Immediately, she reached for his jacket and slid it from his broad shoulders. She could feel the heat of him, the barely leashed strength beneath the pressed dress shirt, as her hand moved to the buttons that ran down his chest. She wanted him naked, wanted to see all that power without anything covering it up. He could take off his clothes much faster than she could do it for him, but there was something so sensually satisfying about her being the one to uncover him, about being able to run her fingertips over his skin, his bones, his muscles, the dark hairs on his chest that curled against her knuckles as she undid one button and then another. But when she finally had his shirt pulled out of his pants and all the way open, she had to stop and stare. Only looking wasn't enough. Touching wasn't enough either. She needed to taste him, too. She leaned up and put her mouth over his collarbone. It was natural, so perfectly instinctive, to slide her tongue into the hollow just behind the bone. He tasted clean, but a little spicy, too. She needed to taste him again, needed to memorize not only his scent, but also his taste, so she moved her mouth lower, down over one of his pectoral muscles. She found his nipple with the tip of her tongue, and as his hands threaded through her hair, she put her teeth on him, the light scrape against his hardened flesh causing him to groan with pleasure. Or maybe it was her own groan she was hearing, because Colby had never done anything more pleasurable than taste and tease Noah. She pushed his shirt off, and together they worked to strip him of the rest of his clothes until he was wonderfully, beautifully naked, and she couldn't wait to get her hands, her mouth, on every new, hard, tanned inch of skin that she'd uncovered. His muscles jumped beneath the stroke of her fingertips, the lash of her tongue as she explored him with a greed that rivaled his for her. She wasn't even close to getting enough of him, as on a groan, he pulled her back up his body and took her mouth again with his. She didn't know when he'd pulled a condom out, but when her fingers brushed against the package, she immediately picked it up, ripped it open, and reached for him. She felt him stiffen and was surprised to realize that he was holding his breath as she rolled it down his thick length. She knew she'd never stop thanking her girlfriends for insisting on that ski trip. She wanted to send a truckload of chocolate chip cookies to the little girl who'd whipped past on her pint-sized skis and sent Colby falling face-first into the snow, just in time for Noah to come by with his strong hands, his warm arms, and his beautiful smile. She'd never felt sexier, never felt more adored in her whole life than she did as his eyes ran over her, pleasure lighting his gorgeous features as he moved fully between her legs and gazed down at her with wonder in his eyes. "No one has ever looked at me the way you do," she whispered. "I never believed in love at first sight." He reached out to stroke his hand across her cheek. "Not until I saw you."
Noah. His name was still on her lips when she took him inside her. And even as he gave her his heart with words, while she gave hers back to him without needing any words at all, passion took them both over. What had begun in patience and gentleness now transcended any control either of them had been able to hold on to. Oh, but she loved it. Loved the juxtaposition of dirty and sweet, the rough with the gentle, the fast and the breathtakingly slow. It was what she was doing with her store, after all, by stocking the finest silks and laces, the headiest perfumes, all meant to recklessly seduce in the heat of the night, all intended to shatter control and to seduce with irresistible pleasure. As their tongues danced together, their bodies were doing a dance of their own, slipping and thrusting and sliding and craving, loving. He was rough. His kisses were desperate and greedy. But she was all of those things, too. There were no rules anymore, no wariness, nothing but passion and hunger, woman and man. Slick with sweat, breathless with desire, Noah slipped one hand between them and took her up higher than she'd ever been, before he sent her spiraling out over the edge, crying out his name. She couldn't have imagined even this, let alone more. But oh, there was so much more, as his name was on her lips and hers was on his when their mouths crashed together again. She could feel every beat of his heart against her chest, the fast pounding that matched her own racing out-of-control rhythm. She caught a flash of his eyes, dark, beautiful, and so incredibly full of emotion. And then his hands were gripping her hips, and she was wrapping her legs even tighter around him, and arching her breasts into his waiting mouth as they both fell together this time. Chapter 8. The Next Morning. Colby had been drifting in and out of sleep for a while as the rare Seattle sun tried to break through the clouds outside Noah's bedroom window. But she hadn't wanted to wake all the way up and end what had been the most incredible hours of her life. But then Noah shifted against her, and she knew the moment of truth had come. Their one night was over. One perfect night when all of her dreams had become reality. Last night, she'd felt as though she belonged in Noah's arms in a way that she'd never belonged in anyone else's. He'd told her, "We belong together," and he'd said it to her again and again with every kiss, every caress. The truth was that she'd been as afraid to believe it as she was not to. But oh, how she wanted to believe, and to trust that she'd been right to take the biggest risk of her life with him last night. Because deep in her heart, Colby knew that last night had been more than just incredible, mind-blowing sex. So when he slid her even closer to him and asked, "Did I prove it to you?" in that low, rough voice that made every nerve in her body fire with anticipated pleasure, joy exploded inside her, starting at her heart and radiating out from there to fill every cell, every pore, every last corner of her soul. Colby shifted in his arms so that they were face to face, and the hairs on his chest tickled her breasts in the most wonderful way, his heart beating strong and steady against hers. She pretended to think about his question, working hard to try to keep her mouth from moving up into a smile, even though her tone was clearly light, teasing, and inherently seductive. "What if I told you I needed another night before I could decide?" He grinned down at her, relief mixing with the heat in his eyes. "Then I'll work to prove it to you tonight and tomorrow night and every night after that." She gave a happy little squeak as he lifted her up out of the bed, carried her into the bathroom, and turned on the shower. "But for now, since I know you have to get back to your new store instead of goofing off in bed with me all morning, I'll settle for making sure you're perfectly clean." He grinned as he added, "Everywhere." She laughed as he pulled her under the warm spray. Only this time, instead of being seduced, she wanted to be the one to seduce him. "You've given me a perfect day and a perfect night." She wrapped her arms around his neck and lifted her mouth almost all the way up to his. "Now it's time for me to give you the perfect morning."
She claimed his mouth with soft kisses that teased as much as they promised more to come. With the edges of her teeth, she nipped at his lower lip, then soothed the small sting with her tongue. He threaded his hands into her wet hair and moved them so that she was trapped between the tiled wall and his hard body. But even though the press of his muscles against hers shocked her with pleasure, she was intent on loving him the way he loved her. Her skin was slick enough that she could shimmy her way down his body, covering each muscle across his neck, his shoulders, his chest, with the same kisses she'd given to his lips. As she began to drop lower to press kisses to his stomach and to glide her hands and mouth over him, all of him, he groaned her name into the steam rising both from the water and from their bodies. Before too long, though, he had her pressed up against the shower wall again, his hands threaded in her wet hair, his mouth devouring hers. He had protection ready just when they needed it, only this time, her hands weren't steady enough to help him with it. In one quick move, he was covered, and then she was wrapping her legs and arms tightly around him, and he was licking, sucking, biting at the curve of her neck, then lower to the upper swell of her breasts, as he found her wet and hot and beyond ready for him to take her. She didn't feel the hard tile behind her back as he thrust into her, barely heard her own gasps of pleasure over the pounding of her heart in her own ears. All she knew was that Noah had her, and she had him. In a rush of pleasure so sweet, so hot, so sudden that she was stunned by it all over again, Colby came apart in his arms, with Noah less than a heartbeat behind her. 10 hours later, she just locked the front door of Indulgence after a fantastic second day in business, when Noah wrapped his arms around her and kissed the top of her head.
You've created something great here, Colby.
She turned around in his arms so that he could kiss her mouth, too. Of course, when one kiss turned to 2, and then 10, and then 100, she let him pull her into the back room for another round of sensual arguments aimed at winning her heart, this time on her desk with her legs wrapped around his waist. Now that is the meaning of indulgence, she murmured a while later, as she worked to catch her breath.
No matter where we are, no matter how many years go by, I'll never stop proving my love to you, he told her,
his eyes still so dark and hungry, even in the aftermath of their passion.
Every day, every night.
Even if I've finally decided?
Especially then.
Even though she knew he could see the truth of her feelings reflected back to him in her eyes, and that he had to feel it in the way she responded to his kisses, to his caresses, she wanted to give him more. She wanted to give him everything he'd given to her, multiplied, her faith, her trust, her heart. As a little girl, I used to believe in love at first sight. She pressed a kiss over his heart, which beat hard and fast as she declared herself to him. I think every little girl does. But then, slowly at first, and then faster and faster as I grew older and made bad choices, I lost that belief. She cupped his face in her hands, even as she still held his body inside hers. You gave it back to me on a snowy mountaintop on one perfect day, and then again in one perfect night. And later that night in his bed, when he took her even higher than she'd been before, and they flew together from peak to peak, she forgot to be afraid, because she didn't need to be ever again. This has been One Perfect Night, written by Bella Andre, narrated by Eva Kaminsky, copyright 2011 to 2014 by Oak Press, LLC, production copyright 2014 by Oak Press, LLC.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.